all of you heard me. Brian Reed is Sharon Scruggs' brother out in Arkansas, and he's going to be put on a transplant list for a kidney. Brother Harry back there, his wife did not hit him between the eyes. He had a biopsy taken off for looking for skin cancer, so remember him, please. Many who stayed outside in the sun when they were young, you know, are paying for it now when they get older with skin cancers and problems. So we're glad that they can do more now than they could before. Hemachandra is going to be leaving to go to India. And you'll remember he's got to go through all that process from going into the embassy in India to be able to get to where his mother is. It's 400 miles from where he has to go to the embassy to where his mother is. And then he'll have to come back through. And the Panais are there now. They left on Monday morning going to India. And they are both American citizens and don't have a problem with getting in and out, you know, like Hemachandra's having to do. So remember one another. Hope some of these folks, like Jimmy Taylor, can get over this pneumonia sometime soon, and Brother Gabe over this stuff he probably caught from his girls, who probably got it at school and then brought it home to Daddy or something like that. And we're thankful that you're here tonight. We appreciate your faithfulness. Leviticus chapter 23 in your Bibles. We looked at in our journey with the Lord to try to enjoy the journey, walking with God, that Israel was given feasts. And they've been given a lot of commands that brought a lot of rebuke to them for the life they were living, a lot of prohibitions of what they could not do. But now they're be given things that will honor God and will be easy for them to remember a memorial to the Lord by the feast that they observe. It'll be a time of celebration, a time of joy. In chapter 23 and verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. The first day you shall have an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. And the seventh day is an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you be come into the land which I give unto you, and ye shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And you shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be in a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord, and you shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. That's something new that's taking place. They're going to bake loaves with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, 1 young bullock, 2 rams. Shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering and their drink offering, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be an holy convocation unto you, and you shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in your dwellings throughout your generations. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest. Neither shalt thou gather any gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Now we see the feasts here of Passover, first of all. Passover is a memorial feast, that it is the Lord's Supper is instituted from the time that Christ died as the Passover lamb. It is the emphasis that God provides redemption for us by Christ dying on the cross for us. And now we observe that as a memorial with the Lord's Supper, just as Israel did with the Passover. Unleavened bread is communion with the Lord because sin is removed. Like leaven was a type of sin that corrupted the bread and spread through the bread and fermented the bread. And so it was a type of sin, and they had to remove all that. And Christ was buried to take our sins away and remove our sins from us. And we confess our sin to him. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And when he removes our sin from us, it will never be recalled against us again. In the Old Testament, it was said he would bury it as deep as the ocean is deep and cast it behind his back as far as the east is from the west. And it was not to be seen again. Now, the Passover was on the 14th day, and unleavened bread was on the 15th day, and then the next day would be Sunday. They call it the morrow after the Passover. And on the Sunday, it was the Feast of First Fruits, when they would bring their probably barley, maybe one other grain that would be ripened first, and they would bring a sheaf of that. The priest would wave it before the Lord. And it was an offering brought to him of their first crops that were brought. So it was the first fruits. And that is the symbol of the resurrection from the dead. Christ is the first fruits from the dead. So we've seen the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now we're looking at the Feast of First Fruits. All happened from the time of Christ's crucifixion as the Passover lamb, and his death to remove our sins, then his resurrection as the first fruit from the dead with a glorified body. This is the picture for us of the resurrection that we have to look forward to. Because the people brought the first of their offering to God, he would bless the remainder of their harvest. So Christ died for us and offered himself to the Father, that all of those who are saved will be guaranteed the harvest of a plentiful harvest unto the Lord. Let's look at a few verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20 through 24. All right, I'm going to put you to the test, Brother Bob, and see if we can hear you on live stream. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 through 24. Would you read that for us, please?
Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power.
Amen. In Adam all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, each of us accordingly. Christ rose again from the dead, and we have the promise that we will have a resurrection also. Now, as far as a whole of a bodily resurrection, that will take place at what we call the rapture. And we'll receive new bodies, a body like his body. And then the dead will be raised for destruction. This took place on the day after the Sabbath, which is Sunday, the first day of the week, in Acts 20 and verse 7. They began meeting on the Lord's day, Sunday, the first day of the week. Verse 7 says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So that is the proof text that it's okay for us to preach till midnight. But I'm afraid if what happened with Paul's preaching that night, the fellow was sitting up in the loft because the room was crowded, no doubt, and he went to sleep and fell down dead. So Paul was able to raise him from the dead. I'm not sure I can do that, so I don't think we'll go to midnight and put it to the test. So this is the first day of the week that they began to meet and had preaching. And 1 Corinthians 16 tells us that they had the offering was to be received on the first day of the week. In 1 Corinthians 16, it said, verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to you, the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. So this is speaking of services taking place on Sunday, the Lord's Day, by the early church. Being Jews, they may still have met Passover with the synagogues, but they would meet on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, to gather as the church. The church meets on Sunday, not the Sabbath. And it takes a lot of people time to understand the difference between them. Sabbath was Friday evening at sundown until Saturday at sundown. And most churches that observe Sabbath worship usually still try to stay under the law. And they usually teach the Levitical diet and things of that nature. And the sadness of that is they're trying to put works together with faith in order to be saved. And we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace through faith. And so that is an error on their part. Justification before God is not by the law, but by faith in Romans 3:28. Now, Jesus taught his disciples in John 14:18 and 19, because I live, ye shall live also. So his resurrection to life with a new body is the promise for us as well. There will be a harvest in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. The scripture says, but every man after his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Now his resurrection is our assurance of a resurrection also. The Bible teaches two resurrections. First resurrection for believers is unto life and blessing. In John, the gospel, chapter 5 and verse 24 through 29. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And he said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So the lost are going to be resurrected to stand before God's judgment at the great white throne and will be cast in the lake of fire. But we will be resurrected prior to that, and there'll be a distance between those resurrections. It won't happen at the same time. In Revelation 20 and verse 1 through 6, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And then verse 11 through verse 15 reveals the great white throne judgment, when all the lost will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Next, we believe that on Christ as Savior, we receive another proof of salvation, and that is the Holy Spirit, who comes to take up residence within us. And that is the Feast of Pentecost was the celebration of the coming of the Holy Spirit in the 50th day feast. In Romans 8, we are said to long for redemption of our body. Our soul has been saved when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and we were redeemed, but our physical body has not yet been redeemed. Romans 8, verse 22 says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body." We long for a new body. And it's not just because of the aches and pains that we feel. It's not just for a rejuvenation of youth. It is the fact that when we get that new body, we will not sin and we will not fail God. And we'll be with the Lord to praise him and worship him and be with him. And he will create a new heaven and a new earth for us to live forever and forever. In Philippians 3, 20 and 21, he promised to change our vile bodies to be like unto his body. And we will receive that glorified body that Christ was resurrected from the dead with. Others had been raised from the dead like Lazarus, but he was not raised with a glorified body at that time. He would physically die again sometime in the future. But Christ was raised from the dead with that glorified body, and we have the promise that we too will have a body like that when we go to be with the Lord. Now, during this time we live, we are co-laborers with Christ, seeking to help people come to know him, to be delivered from the judgment, to be delivered from hell, to receive eternal life, to become a part of the family of God. We, like the disciples, may experience persecutions. And the more we stand for Christ, the more we are different than the unsaved world around us. And it makes us stand out, so we may receive persecution as a result. We have the first fruits of the Spirit now, but we wait for the voice of the Lord to call us up to be with him forevermore. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, I'll paraphrase, "We shall not all sleep, in death, but we shall all be changed. It'll happen in the moment when the trumpet sounds, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and we will rise to be with the Lord. And we have a purifying hope, knowing that God has established that we receive a body like Christ's body. So help us to look for that and long for that and be living for that. Now let's look back, if you would, with me at Leviticus 23, verse 9 through 14. The day after Sabbath, following Passover, as the Feast of First Fruits was on Sunday, first day of the week, which you may already guess, just reading through the scriptures, that was fulfilled by Christ in the resurrection. Christ died as the Passover lamb. He was buried to take our sins away as unleavened bread. He was risen on Sunday, the first day of the week, as the first fruits of the dead. So these three feasts were fulfilled by Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. A memorial can be made of these things, but we do not have to keep them as a law or in order to be a part of our salvation, for Christ has already fulfilled these things. His feast brought the first ripened sheaf of barley and maybe some other grain that ripened early, and they waved it before the Lord. Not the individual reaping it, but the priest. He brought it to the priest, and the priest would wave it before the Lord as a token of the harvest. And this was putting God first in their harvest, so he would bless the remainder of the harvest, and they would have a bountiful harvest. And this is the type of the church today as the body of Christ. And his harvest is going to be amazing, the amount of people that are going to be saved at heaven with us, people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation and every race will sing praise to God along with us in serving the Lord because of Christ's blessing on the harvest. Now this was an offering unto God of the first of their harvest. It was a promise from God that if they honored his first fruit, he would bless their harvest. Look at Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. First one over to get to Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Read it for us. Are y'all slow or are you scared?
Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
Amen.
So it shows that if we do what's right with the first of our harvest, then God will bless the remainder of it so that it will be in abundance. And this is the type in salvation of souls and in the growing of the church. The teaching came from Exodus 23, verse 14 through 19. It was the first time they heard of this. And we learned something else about it. In verse 14, three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. So it was required that all the men of Israel were to appear at these three feasts. They were to be faithful to keep them. Now, it's understandable that it would be difficult. Eventually, there were 9 feasts, but in the beginning, there were 7. It would be difficult for them to keep 7 feasts in the year, to travel all the way to Jerusalem from wherever they were living, and they would have to take their sacrifice with them, or they'd have to take money and buy sacrifice once they got there. And this would be a major event in their lives to make this journey. So it was required that they had to make it three times, but they could miss some of these. Nehemiah chapter 10 gives some further insight into the first fruits. In Leviticus 23:14, the Jews were not allowed to eat of the harvest until the first fruits had been offered to God. By this, they show their appreciation and their love to God by putting Him first. And that's the whole teaching of offerings, of giving back to God, a tithe or an offering, that we give God the first fruits. We give God first. We put His part ahead of other things, showing how we honor the Lord. And the deeper meaning of the ceremony is revealed in 1 Corinthians 15. Christ's death for a believer is like a planted seed, John tells us, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19 through 23. First one there, read that. 1 Corinthians 15, 19 through 23.
If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming.
Amen. In chapter 15, verse 35, some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another of beasts, and another of fishes, and another of birds. So this aspect that the body must die and go to the ground, and there will be a resurrection that will come forth something greater than what was sown. John talks about the seeds that are sown coming back and giving life. An apple seed can produce an apple tree that produces hundreds of apples, and each apple will have several seeds within it that could produce a whole orchard of apple trees from just one tree if you turned it all to seed. And the resurrection is the same. We'll have a new body. It'll be a glorified body. It'll be a body that pleases the Lord. It'll be like the Lord Jesus Christ. For then and only then we'll be free of our Adamic nature that hinders us from being like Christ now. We are told in Romans chapter 8 that God wants us to be conformed to the image of Christ. And so we seek to be like Christ. And we have the nature of God within us in the Holy Spirit. But it is not perfected in us because we still have this human body that fails and has frailty. And God knows that we are but the dust of the ground. So we one day we'll have that new body. So the barley harvest was first to ripen, and the priest waved the palm. He didn't wave palm branches like he did at Tabernacles, but the barley itself. And God accepted the sheaf for the sake of the whole harvest. Look at Ephesians 1, 3 through 7. We'll finish up there. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We are accepted by God because of what Christ has done for us. I love that story of Joseph down in Egypt and how he became the second ruler over all the land, and the great famine came, and his own people came from Israel back down into Egypt to get corn. And they didn't recognize Joseph sitting on the throne as being the one they were dealing with. And he kind of talked gruff to them and played with them a little bit. And then when he sold them all the corn, he put their money back in the sacks and sent it back home with them. And when they got ready to bring their father and come down after he revealed himself to them, he said, "Don't tell Pharaoh that you keep sheep. The Egyptians don't care for shepherds." So Jacob went to meet Pharaoh. First thing he said, "We are shepherds from Israel." But he went ahead and gave them the land of Goshen, the best piece of land that was in Egypt. Not because of who he was or what he done, but because his love for Joseph, who had saved all of Egypt and all who came to buy corn. And our Father is going to accept us not because of who we are and what we've done, but because he loves his Son who has saved us by his grace. You got a few more scriptures you can look up there when you get time. Next comes Pentecost, the 50th day feast. And seven Sabbaths after first fruits. And then on the morrow, or on Sunday again, they celebrate the feast. Let's bow our heads. Father, we are thankful for your word. We thank you for all the lessons we can learn and all the types and symbols that point to church and Christ and to our service to you and our love for you and all you've done for us in knowing and providing for us. Lord, you know all about us, and yet you love us anyway. And we thank you for that. We ask your blessings on this congregation that have been faithful to come out here at night and be in the service. Bless them and encourage them and feed them through the word, I pray. And help them in their work and their day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.